Are you going to watch the Super Bowl? Well, if you do, are you watching it for the football game, the halftime show, or the commercials? It turns out a survey suggests that most people don't watch it for the football game. They watch it, number one, for the commercials. Number two, close second, the halftime show, which, by the way, will be Kendrick Lamar and SZA this year. And by the way, you get a prize if you know who SZA is. I actually do know who that is. And then third, for the football game itself, the viewership last year was 124 million, or nearly that. Of course, Fox is hoping for more people this year. The ticket price, how much do you think it is? The average cost to go to the Super Bowl. According to what I have in my hands, the average cost is now over $7,000 for a ticket. Would you pay that? People are paying that, or at least corporations are paying for that. The average hotel room, $650 a night, which isn't crazy, or as crazy as I might have thought. Last year it was $747 in New Orleans. A 30-second TV commercial. The TV commercials that everyone watches the Super Bowl for, how much does that go for? It goes for about $7 million. And the top players as far as salaries? Well, $51 million, Jalen Hurts. That's the number one salary. It's not, of course, he's with the Eagles. It's not the Kansas City quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, which is what I would have thought. He makes just merely $45 million, poor guy. Travis Kelce, by the way, makes $17.13 million. I don't know how they know these things. How do they know how much money people make or don't make? I don't believe it's as much as a real hero makes, Mike Salazar, and that would be a firefighter. You don't make that kind of money as a firefighter?
Unfortunately, we do not.
You do not. No, no, no. So here you are. You're a firefighter. And by the way, thank you. You know, I think all and I'm saying this not because you're in studio. I have said this before about the police and firefighters, first responders. When there's a fire in your house or someone has a gun to your back, you don't typically complain about the police or fire department, do you? It's when you that's when you need, and there you are running into instead of out of burning buildings. So thank you and your colleagues who don't, I don't think, get enough credit for all of what you do, risking your lives all the time, every single day, potentially. But you decided I'm going to do more than that. I am going to get people into shape. And you are, in fact, a certified trainer. Is that the right way to put it?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It used to mean a lot back in the day. But, you know, you pass a knowledge and demonstrate, you know, kind of like the base knowledge you need to do to make sure that your clients and your athletes and your students are able to get safe and effective workouts. Now, the issue becomes the quality of the certification. Then, you know, you can you do a 6-month program or a 12-month program, or are you going to do a online you know, pay this fee and get certified in,
so if
in
I'm
a
looking,
weekend.
So if I'm looking for a personal trainer, how do I know what the personal trainer markets himself or herself saying, I'm certified. How do you know what that certification means? And how important is it that it's the right certification?
So unfortunately, on the consumer end, there's not really a way for the consumer to know how qualified an individual is. You know, you could probably ask the right questions. You know, do you have a college degree? How many years of experience do you have? And then what type of certifications do you possess? But at the end of the day, with social media and influencers being the way that it is right now, it's very difficult to kind of screen the potential trainer that you're looking to work with to see if they're legit or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are that. And you know what? Going into the new year, even though we're in February, I wonder if most people at this, even at this point of the year, have said, oh, I blew my resolution already. I don't. Are you getting a lot of that even this early in the year?
You know. To be honest, the whole New Year's resolution phenomenon is an actual thing for those in the fitness industry. There is something about the January 1st or the end of the the end of the previous year that strikes like a it's like a catalyst for a lot of people to kind of stop, sitting on their butt, brush the Cheetos off their chest, and then, I'm gonna sign up, or I'm gonna check out this gym, or so on and so forth. And I tell people all the time, New Year's resolutioners coming to the gym isn't necessarily a bad thing, while the regular exercisers may find it like a nuisance if the gym gets a little bit crowded. I guess my response has always been like, well, everyone needs to start somewhere. And I really think it's just about making sure that these newcomers to the gym are integrated in the right way. They're taught proper etiquette. They're taught how to kind of navigate the gym, maybe one or two sessions with a trainer. That way they're not just sitting around wandering, just doing the cardio. So they, that way they're getting started on the right foot, and they could set themselves up for success and not be just another statistic where come the end of February or early March, they're no longer, following a program anymore.
You said a lot that I think I want to follow up on. First of all, how to set yourself up for success. We are talking with personal trainer from Evo Strength and Conditioning, Mike Salazar. Mike, one of the many texts I have here, Steve, how do you know your guest is certified? Well, for one thing, you teach others how to themselves be personal trainers.
That's correct. So I have a master's in kinesiology and coaching from Georgia Southern University, and I also teach undergrad exercise phys over at Loyola University, the Rogers Park campus. So we go over the basic ins and outs, and my students and I nerd out on all the energy systems and parts of the body and how the contractions work. And I've been doing this since 2004.
How the contractions work?
Muscular contractions through sports and
you don't
exercise.
Work with pregnant women as well.
That's a negative,
different
Steve.
Kind of
That's a negative.
Different kind of contraction. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't have you on the show, of course. But in addition to that, you also teach, which I think is amazing, firefighters how to go through their paces before they become certified as firefighters.
That's correct. We have a handful of trainers that are familiar with this national type of physical test that all potential firefighters have to go through. So in order for us to prepare them, we run them through the standardized tests. And, we cover things from forcible entry to stair climbing to dummy drags, hose pulls, salvage and overhaul, where firefighters pull ceiling. And so we try to...
Firefighters do what?
They got to pull after typically what's called overhaul after an incident. Like, so if, we're going through a bedroom fire that has been extinguished, they have to check for what's called extension to see if there's hot spots that are left over. So they got to pull down drywall so we can show you how to pull all these ceiling tiles out of this studio.
No.
But we have potential candidates do that to make sure that they're, again, physically prepared to go through this kind of, we would call it a pretty challenging, rigorous physical test before going into any type of department that they're going into.
All right. We were talking before about the secret for yourself is, or firefighters, I suppose, is to set yourself up for success. Do you think that's where most people actually fail? Their goals are either too lofty or they want to do them too quickly and have overnight success.
I 100% agree with both of those. I think in order to, for newbies and just people in general, regardless, even outside of fitness, if you're talking about relationship goals or career goals, you have to kind of, be committed to the whole process and set yourself up for success by planning everything out and setting realistic goals. You want to set short-term goals that can either be accomplished, within a couple of weeks to a few months, and then you they all have to be congruent to this bigger goal or the bigger picture that you have, whether it's I want to lose 30 pounds or I want to run the Chicago Marathon or I want to do the Chicago Triathlon. I feel like setting both short-term and long-term goals is going to increase your chances of sticking to the program and being committed. Whereas, again, if the goals are set too lofty, or if, you know, individuals, just because we're people, are impatient, they want things done overnight, chances are you're going to be spinning your wheels and you really won't get anywhere.
Now, the goal you said could be running a marathon or an ultra marathon or whatever, but what if the goal is just kind of like walking around the block? I mean, literally. I mean, you have someone who is X number of pounds significantly overweight, hasn't been in shape for years, and has a difficult time doing what I just said. That person may also be 75 years old. I mean, do you work with people like that?
And yes, we do. And I the beauty about that is, like, I enjoy working with kind of like folks who are seeking general fitness goals, right? I feel like our approach to fitness differs from maybe some of the approaches or kind of programs in big box gyms, whereas, you know, we understand that yes, there's a physical component to every fitness goal, but, you know, a lot of times these individuals lack support systems elsewhere in their lives that keep them on track, whether it's dealing with stress or nutrition, or even just no one's really been around them to kind of give them that little push that they need or hold them accountable. So it's our job as trainers to kind of build these programs from and approach their goals from all angles in order to kind of create this hybrid, holistic, multifaceted program that gives a client what they need, much more than just a coach that's sitting there blowing the whistle or counting reps or even barking orders at them, right? You know, a lot of times people don't respond well to that. But I feel like an individual approach is a lot more successful in the long term for people to adhere to a program and see their goals from day one to day, you know, day 100, or cross that finish line or whatever it is.
Well, and that is if they have a personal trainer in the first place. So it seems appealing, and it is, that the big box sort of fitness places, the national outlets, $39.99 a month or whatever. I have no idea what it is, you know, and they have these commercials, especially at this time of year. They want to attract you. It's inexpensive compared to a trainer, but everything you're talking about, I don't think can be done without a personal trainer. What's more, that way there's someone to keep an eye on you. That way there's someone to motivate you. I suspect more than that.
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time, you know, there a lot of people want to, you know, and I get it, you know, no one always, you know, budgets are have a ceiling. But at the same time, if you're going to set time aside from your week and you're going to make the effort to, you know, start this transformation and work towards better health and wellness, I feel like doing it with a second set of eyes to kind of look after all your decisions and kind of guide you along the way is going to be beneficial. You'll learn a lot more, and I feel like clients and students and athletes will have a much more engaged learning experience through this whole process, as opposed to, you know, trying to nickel and dime everything and doing online apps and, you know, cookie cutter programs that are just not really designed to help them stick to their goals or, you know, really get them to where they want to be, right? It sounds attractive because of the low price point, but I feel like when you prioritize something, I feel like you could make it work, right? There's always different ways you can work with people's budgets, but I feel like if they're taking time out of the day to put the effort in and the time in, it's better if you're going to do it right the first time.
You know, you mentioned the apps, and there are an unlimited, I think, number of apps that say, okay, you don't need to join a health club even not the big box ones, just you can do this in your basement. Well, I suppose there are certain things you can do. However, do those apps have a limitation?
You know, at the end of the day, right, any exercise is better than nothing. So I'm not going to discount and discredit those that are making the effort to go. But, you know, with that, you have to set some realistic expectations. If an app or an online coach or some kind of book is saying, you know what, Steve, you could get a body of a champ with 12 minutes a day, three times a week, you're, I mean, you're just getting sold, right? You're just becoming another customer. At the end of the day, it's going to be the kind of, and it's really the answer that no one wants to hear, right? You get what you put in. Like, if it's important, you put the hard work in, you know, keep your head down, commit, you know, go to the gym or exercise, even when you don't feel like it. You know, that kind of builds that discipline, right? And then I feel like individuals who have built discipline, you know, over the weeks or months, right? That discipline takes over when your motivation goes away, right? You know, people think that, oh, personal trainers, they live in the gym, all they do is work out. Like, well, you know, sometimes we're human too. There are times we don't want to work out. There are times that we want to be lazy. But again, you know, that's that fork in the road where you got to make that decision. Do I do, you know, plan A, which is what I think is the right plan, or do I want to do plan B, which may not be the right, you know, the right kind of decision at that point.
Interesting comment here. Fitness programs shouldn't target the fit, says this texter. Those people will always show up. Fitness programs should be for the unfit, so we can spread the word of wellness for all.
And I agree, right?
Yeah.
You know, Gen Pop is kind of where kind of we focus on, right? You know, and then again, in any group, right? If you have the general population of just average or newcomers, right? You're going to get people that excel, and you're going to get people that enjoy and get married to the lifestyle and commit and put the time in. But I also feel like having the right support system around you, right? From all facets of this kind of journey, right? So how did you know, stress management, like what kind of coping mechanisms do you are in place for, you know, the nighttime eaters? In Chicago, if it's a blizzard outside, like how are you going to still make your way to the gym? How are you still going to put the time in? And I feel like having a support system is key. And I think that support system is something that when you work with a trainer, that person becomes that entire support system and can build and motivate and hold you accountable and, again, guide you along the way.